This is the audio that accompanies Richardson versus Franck, a litigation that basically introduces us to our last form of easements without a writing. This is an easement by estoppel. It's a litigation between James and Lisa. These are the Richardson and Donetti. They're the ones that are neighbors to Greg and Terry Franck. And it turns out what they share is actually a written easement. It's a written easement for access and public utility that traverses across the property of the defendants and goes up to the plaintiff's property. And so we've got this written easement, although the easement only talks about access and public utilities. But for a long period of time, this actually predates the current plaintiffs and defendants. There's been a lot of landscaping, irrigation, and lighting that's been taking place over the property, this 150-foot road. A lot of investment in drip irrigation and making things look nice, etc. There's been no objection, actually no objection at all to this investment by the plaintiffs over the defendant's strip of land. However, overnight, for some reason, Greg and Terry Franck, I'm sure it was Greg, I think it does say it was Greg, bad day at work, decides to tear it all up and cut the irrigation and the lighting connections, etc., and say, hey, listen, all you've got is an easement for access. That means basically right of way and public utilities, nothing more. You know, get all this other stuff off of here, essentially trespass. And the Richardsons are like, whoa, wait a minute. We actually have an easement. It turns out it's not an easement by writing. So we're going to need to have something else as our vehicle to say that we actually do have an easement that should be protected. And we're not trespassing. And what you've done, actually, you've got to pay for. So if you go to the next slide, we get a little picture of the Francks and Richardsons. These are nice houses in the Laguna Vista area of California. As you can see, there's essentially a driveway that goes up to the Richardsons' house that shares a driveway that goes to the Francks' house. My gut is that we've got something where these were initially a single lot that was split up between two of them. We'll talk about that here in a little bit after we get easement by estoppel out of the way, because I think it's good to think about maybe other ways that an easement could be created. And it looks like actually one is expressly created to get a right of way so the Richardsons can go up that roadway shown there on slide two. And also so they can get utilities up that, because you can only think about it, we probably have sewage line, electricity, et cetera, being run underground to there. But the express easement, the easement in writing, says nothing about the ability for the Richardsons to put irrigation, their own plants, et cetera, across that driveway. And so how could they create an easement across this? We can think about the ones we've talked about so far. Easement by implication, we would need sole ownership, common ownership to start off with, and we would need a quasi-easement beforehand. It looks like none of this stuff was being done until the Richardsons and their predecessors moved into the house. That would have been after, if there was common ownership, it was split apart. For an easement by necessity, we would need common ownership. We'd also need at least reasonable necessity. Look, I like plants. Water plants are even better, but unlikely that that would reach our level of reasonable necessity, or even in most jurisdictions, we would require absolute necessity. And easement by prescription, in those instances, we would need to start off with something where there was no owner's consent. Here, actually, it turns out there was consent. I mean, that's in some ways the fundamental basis that we're going to see in a second for this easement by estoppel that is allegedly being created, is that there was consent by the Francks and their predecessors to the activities of the Richardsons and the prior people. So we couldn't start that easement by prescription clock ticking because we've got consent by the servient landowner. So if we go to slide three, we get introduced to our last flavor of an easement being created without a writing, and this is an easement by estoppel, or sometimes called an irrevocable license. This gets us introduced initially to the concept of a license. We've talked about this here and there. A license essentially is a temporary permission that can be in writing or orally for someone to trespass on your land, right? So the cable person shows up, wants to work on your cable or your internet connection. You say, that's fine, come on in. You granted a license. It's temporary in nature. It's not something that would create a landlord-tenant relationship by itself. It doesn't create an easement, right? It doesn't mean your friend always has a right of way into your apartment just because you let her in that one time. But an easement by estoppel or an revocable license always starts with a license. We need some permission to start off with from the servient landowner to the benefited landowner. And here we would be having this affirmative easement. It would be appurtenant to the Richardson's property. And so do we have a license here? Right. We do have a license. And the license here seems to be not in writing. It could be oral, though. And so this would be if the Richardsons say, hey, I'm going to plant this here. Is that okay? And the Francks say, yeah, that's fine, et cetera. But you can have a situation where you've got a license where it's not explicit. It's not in writing. It's not been orally said, but it's implicit. And here we do have an implicit license. What's that implicit license? The fact that every time the Richardsons and their predecessors, the Pokeskays, come out there to put stuff on that that driveway there, digging all those holes, putting all those plants in place, the owners of the Franks property knew that it was taking place and said nothing about it. And so by implication, we're going to say that they've given permission, permission for them to do those things on the easement that's there. And so we've got our license. It turns out here the license isn't in writing or oral, but it's implicit. It's basically by them seeing these actions and not saying anything about it. And so then once we've got our license, we need an improvement. And here the improvement can be of what? It can be of the easement itself, which is actually what happened in this case. They improved along the easement, putting the drip irrigation, all the lighting, all the trees and plants, etc. We can also have an improvement on the benefited property. So another example here would be one where I'm using a roadway constantly across somebody else's property. They see me doing it, and they see me hauling all of these materials to build a house on my property. I'm not improving that roadway, but clearly I'm using that roadway to get back and forth to a house that I am improving, that I am building, etc. So improvement of what? We could have an improvement of either or both, but either the easement itself or the benefited property. But the key here is that we need the improvement to take place in reliance on the license. So do we need reliance? Yes, we need reliance on what? We need reliance on that initial license that's there. And so here the question becomes, is that implicit permission, did the Richardsons rely, and the predecessors, the Richardsons, the Pokeskays or whatever, rely on that license to make those improvements? And the theory here is that once that improvement is taking place, we're going to have some either explicit or implicit consent from the burdened property owner, to where the burdened property owner either needs to say, hey, you know what? Done. I'm not going to let you do this. You're now starting to make all these changes to the easement itself. You can't do this, and you would stop it, right? Or I see that you're building that house up there. I just want to let you know you're not going to get a chance to keep this permanent right of way across my property, etc. And so we have that consent there. And so essentially we've got this chain of events where we need some kind of a license in writing, oral. It needs to be explicit or implicit. We then need an improvement in reliance on the license. The improvement needs to either be to the easement or the benefited property. And then we need to finally kind of circle it back and say, do we have some kind of consent, either explicit or implicit, by the burdened landowner? This is really based a lot on the concept of promissory estoppel that you guys learned about in contract law. But here we're having an easement by estoppel. And if we have all those, which the court ends up determining that we do in this case, the predecessor owners knew the improvements were taking place, never did anything about it, knowing, right, that all this stuff was going on and there was all this investment, et cetera, that was going on here, and they didn't do anything to stop it. And so that's now where a license has turned out to turn into something that's irrevocable or permanent in its place. So the question then becomes is, great, with an easement by estoppel, how long should it last? The court says it should last as long as the nature of the easement requires it to last. A lot of jurisdictions say it lasts as long as the improvements are there. So if these trees all die off and the electrical lines wear over time and they aren't fixed and the irrigation lines get all stopped up or eaten up by squirrels or rodents, etc., once those improvements are gone, the easement disappears. if it turns out that the improvement this was based on was actually, let's say, the house that was being built on the appurtenant benefited property, once that house, let's say, burns down, the easement by estoppel would disappear. But it would stay there for as long as it's there in that particular instance. And so the question that comes up again, which we talked about with easement by prescription or even easement by implication, right? Do we worry about the fact that we don't have a writing here? At least with an easement by implication, we allegedly had a transfer of some kind, breaking apart of a singular piece of something. And so we could say there was a transfer where this all was implied into. Here we don't have that, right? With an easement by prescription, we've got time. It's gone on for a long time, etc. Time's not necessarily a factor here. Certainly helps us with the idea of consent, but it's not a necessity here. And so some jurisdictions don't like easement by estoppel because the problem is we're creating something that initially is temporary in nature, a license. And then without a writing, we're creating a permanence to it, and we don't know the scope of it because we don't have a writing that's there. And it starts to beg this question of whether it's really fair, right, to create these things, particularly with no transfer of payment, particularly when they're started from the idea of creating something that is temporary, a license that's there. And so if we kind of go to the next slide, we start to see this kind of looking back and looking over these different types of ways we can create an easement. And the one thing, hopefully, if we've been going through all these, you get a sense that in general, right, the theory here is that we're going to create an easement where the benefit is much greater than the burden. The benefit the easement creates is much greater than the burden. We're going to assume this is the case with writings, right? That is that at the very least, these are equal, if not better. And that's why they were put in writings. By implication, we could say that either we are implying it, right, through some kind of prior use. That's how we would assume that the benefit is greater than the burden. Or by necessity, there the idea is that the necessity drives the benefit side of it. We can imply the idea that the benefit is greater than the burden with an easement by prescription because the owner never went out there and stopped it. And we can use the improvement with easement by estoppel to assume the benefit is greater than the burden. And so how can we create an easement? We can create it with writing. We can create it by implication. We'll say there are two types of implication. By necessity, we've got common ownership, although that's not required in all jurisdictions. Then some level of necessities, Common ownership is required in every jurisdiction, even for necessity. Even the Connecticut case, they required common ownership. We need a necessity. Most jurisdictions require absolute necessity. We could find some jurisdictions, like the Connecticut jurisdiction that we looked at in Thomas versus Primus, did require it. And finally, we need a transaction that actually creates a necessity. Now, here's the variation. Thomas versus Primus, they didn't require it. Most jurisdictions require the breaking up of that commonly owned property is what creates the necessity that we are going to now make permanent. For prior use flavor of implied, there's some similarities. We have to have common ownership. We have necessity as a requirement, although not as high of a level of necessity. But we need a prior use. We need this idea of a quasi-easement, right, before the severance. One part's being used for the benefit of the other. Go on to slide 5. We've got an easement by prescription, right? Basically like adverse possession, but we don't require exclusivity as a requirement because if we did, we would have adverse possession, not easement by prescription. And it's really mainly a lot of times hinges on this idea of whether the owner's provided consent or not. And then easement by estoppel, which we just talked about. We've got a license, some improvement in reliance on the license, and then we've got some consent for that improvement for taking place. Final thing to talk about with regards to Richardson versus Franck is I think this, whenever I think about this case, is does it really fall in line with what we think of as good neighborly behavior, right? So after Richardson versus Franck, we've got a neighbor who's out there improving parts of this easement. I think that's just fine. I assume, right, I've got absolute property rights. Once I don't want that there, we can talk about it and we'll get rid of it. We find out that if I'm in a jurisdiction that observes an easement by implication, that might not actually be the case. And this means what? This means actually I need to get out there and be a jerk. I need to be a jerk and tell them, hey, you need to stop doing that. And then if we think about this in the context of an easement by prescription, not only do I need to tell him he needs to stop doing it, I need to stop him from doing it, right? Because if I tell him he stops doing it, now he's doing it without my consent. Easement by prescription clock is ticking, and I've got to be the jerk that cuts the hoses or cuts the electrical lines, et cetera. And so in some ways, I think there's this view, right, that irrevocable licenses or even by estoppel really push us to be either jerks, right, or pushing formal writings all the time, right? So he's out there doing it, and you say, okay, I think that's fine, but I don't want this to get out of hand. Hey, can we sit down and hammer out a real easement by writing? He says, oh, look, hey, Chris, you know, we're just neighbors. We're friendly here. Why do we have to do something so jerkish like that? I say, well, look, I don't know what the scope of the easement by estoppel will be. I don't want us to get to an easement by prescription scenario. He turns around to me and says, what the hell are you talking about? And so we have the kind of exchange. And so in some ways, right, this might make us act in ways that more legalese things that shouldn't be legalese. This is why a lot of jurisdictions don't recognize easement by estoppel. So Texas would be one of them. There's just no way we're going to let a license in Texas be converted into a permanent easement via an easement by estoppel.